Hey everyone, welcome to InnoVision Chat. This is episode 16 for June 24th. I have two guests with me, Jero.
Hey, Fosh.
And Steve.
Hello.
And this was going to be a little different. We got like a big topic we wanted to talk about, so probably won't be talking about the weekly anime talk, but yeah, we'll do some news first and get into that. First bit of news, JoJo Part 5 is coming out in the fall, which is everyone pretty hyped. I mean, even me, I'm excited because it's JoJo is just a fun series. Mm-hmm. I don't care, it's goofy and silly, and I like it how it's just not really serious all the time, but it can be.
Right, yeah. It's been about a year or so since Diamond is Unbreakable ended, so it seems like a good time to get the next series in.
Yeah, it's like after that Diamond Unbreakable ended, I was going to read the manga, but then this announced, I'm like, well, at this point, I might as well just stick with the animes. They keep coming out every 2-3 years, whatever.
As long as they come out consistently, because there's so much manga to read, I'm not entirely interested in catching up. I'm cool with just the anime.
And I guess the buzz of this is like the most popular arc of JoJo. That's what I've been hearing. Everyone loves this part 5. Hmm. And 6, because it's different characters. But yeah. Kill la Kill is to get an action game by Arxis Systems. Which was an announcement they did a week ago. It was supposed to be on the last episode of The Darling and the Franks that they had this huge announcement they were going to do. And everyone was like trying to guess what it was. And it was kind of obvious to me and most people that the big, large red font kind of gave it away of what it was. But it is weird to see them go back to Kill la Kill. You would think they'd go to something like The Witch, but they had a game already came out for that, so. But I'm kind of disappointed that's a 3D kind of fighting thing. I wish it was like a 2D with all their trigger characters and a 2D fighter, but this one's fine too, I guess.
Yeah, I think with Arc System, there's so many 2D fighters that they have now that eventually they might want to try something a little different. They just released Cross Tag Battle, which has like the Ruby characters and Blaze Blue and all that.
Yeah, seen that. 3D kind of drove to get a second season. I haven't watched the first season, so I don't know much about this one, but I guess that's good.
Well, I actually watched I watched the whole series. It's one of those things where it's I didn't really enjoy the series by the end of it. Like, I think it got kind of boring. So it's kind of cool to see it get a second season. Although what I'm actually more interested in is they're actually doing a live action adaptation. So that actually kind of has me a little curious. I want to see what that's kind of about because, you know, live action adaptation, it'll be, 10 or 12, 10 or 11 episodes, and they're 40-minute episodes. So that'll be like 2 seasons. So I might decide just to go that route than check out the second season of this show. So I'm still a little curious to see how it all ends because they didn't really answer anything at the end of the season. Because if you watch the show, we were speculating, is she sick? You know, because he's such a hard, I can only date for this long and then I'm gone. And, it's also a full completed manga series, too. So we'll get a whole story, which is what I'm more interested in. So but it's interesting to know at least it got renewed for a second because the season really just kind of ended abruptly. It didn't feel super conclusive or anything. So
nice. Castlevania to get a third season. Even though season 2 has yet to premiere on Netflix. But that's good. I like the first Castlevania. I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice, though, thinking about it. It's like it didn't even air yet. It's already renewed.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right,
I think at the time, everyone's wanting them to do more animated video game adaptations. So I'm like, let's let this one go first and see how it does. Because when the first Castlevania came out, everyone was just like throwing all these games in. Like, oh, you guys should do animated Metal Gear and mm-hmm. keep going with all these different Resident Evil, all the other ones that popular franchises.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't think it works for all of them, to be honest.
Yeah, the cool thing about Castlevania is you don't have to tie it so specifically to one game or one exact storyline. There's a little freedom to wiggle around, which if you do Metal Gear, you'd have to just do a straight adaptation and then be criticized for not doing a perfect adaptation.
Yeah, I guess the series had universes with different characters. Like, you could do Assassin's Creed easily because there's so many different timelines they can play with. Well, that's it for the news. I guess Steve has a topic he wants to do, so we'll get to that.
All right. So one of the big things, I think, especially over the last several years, we've been kind of, I guess, a lot of podcasts, not just us, but we've all been crushing, and it's popular, but we've all been crushing on this series, My Hero Academia. It's basically one of those things where we keep going, this is like the best shonen ever. So I was just kind of thinking, because I kind of thought of this a couple of weeks ago, it'd be great to kind of look back, because this week, the 50th episode aired of My Hero Academia. We just got finished with a pretty big arc in the series. So it's kind of a perfect time to come back and just kind of take a look to see, is it the best shonen? What let's kind of compare and contrast, you know, a lot of other shonen series. And just kind of gauge based on our experience, of course, you know, this is always going to be our preference, our things, and kind of just conclude whether or not it really is the best. Because I know, at least, I don't want to speak too much for Jero, but I think, you know, for me at least, when I think of the best shonen series, the series that actually still pops in my mind as the best is One Piece. But that's also how many hundreds of episodes? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, is it something that... Yeah, so if we come back and really judge it based on the first 50 episodes, you know, because My Hero Academia could be going on for the next 10 years, you know, and, you know, that might end up taking its spot. But let's see what it is, at least based on the first 50 episodes. So kind of the first question, or the first thing I want to get before we start reflecting back on various series is, what should count as a shonen series? Or shown in anime, I would say specifically. Because I think there's a lot of shows you can kind of say, well, does that count? And even AnnieDB might, you know, sit there and say, it's a shonen under the one of the million genres it classifies it as. But I think at least, and we can all come up with our own, but my opinion is it's got to be at least almost 50 episodes so that we can judge it based on that. And I think some series like, say, Full Metal Alchemist was probably the one I was debating hard on. Like, should we consider Full Metal Alchemist a shonen? And I was kind of looking under various websites to see what they classified, and none of them really classified it as a shonen series. But I bet you we could make the argument it is.
I think for me, shonen anime, like... You have to take into, like, there's the target audience is one thing. Mm-hmm. There's the element of fantasy and action and adventure, and thematically what they focus on also plays in, because there's the idea of good versus evil and injustice and all of that. Some anime kind of like Full Metal Alchemist, I do think fits into that, but I do think there are some others that they kind of delve into deeper topics that aren't involved in shonen. Yeah. It's not about just the whole good versus evil, justice, doing what's right, all that.
Yeah, I could even almost throw like Precure into that as well, because there's a couple of seasons of Precure that are focused on like a big main story, and there's a lot of action in all these Precure that near the end, the fights get ramped up, and like the stakes aren't really that dire, but I mean, they are saving the world from evil. Yeah. So I was like, so in that sense, you could throw in like Sailor Moon too. It's kind of shonen-ish.
Well, so
but
Sailor
I know
Moon,
target audience obviously isn't correctly, you know, right.
Sailor Moon, I think that's one of the more interesting cases, because Sailor Moon, I would say, is not a shonen series.
Right.
But it is a shonen series because
it has many of the same tropes. Yeah.
No. Like my opinion is, it's definitely would be considered a shonen series, but I feel like Sailor Moon is still more. I know Western. It kind of took a different image, but for a lot of at least it's very much a shoujo kind of shonen series. like it's definitely girl thematic more than anything else. But it definitely has like, it I'd say that kind of adds the I guess the little bit of an interesting twist of whether or not you should actually consider that shonen or not. Just because it does kind of have a lot of those elements, but
yeah, you brought up a good point. Over here in America, all these shows premiered and they were hyped up as like action shows, mm-hmm. and a lot of guys got into it because of being aired on like early in the morning, like an action show. It was aired mm-hmm. like I've been watching like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball back to back, and they're like being in the same time block. So you're like, oh, this is an action show, and like you said. Over here, we think of it that way. You know?
I think Sailor Moon also, it has that thing where we, like, yeah. as Americans, especially when Sailor Moon was airing, had no idea, really, of what a magical girl show was.
Pretty much.
Yeah, magical girl shows, I'm not saying that there aren't fans, you know, guy fans. I think magical girl shows have adapted to have, you know, definitely more of a male audience. But definitely back in the day, in Japanese culture, you know, Sailor Moon was definitely geared toward females.
Definitely.
So it was definitely one of those things where you can't. It's kind of an American phenomenon, mm-hmm. just because of the way it aired. So I mean, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of shows that air that Americans love to death, and you know, Japanese people are like, this show sucked.
Right. Not realizing what, you know, who the target audience really was for yeah. at the time when you released it. Like, yeah. I mean,
that's why series Panty and Stocking were huge here, or
right.
you know, Cowboy Bebop, we always regard as one of the best anime of all time, but it won't show up on it probably wouldn't even show up on top 50 list if you polled everyone in Japan. because it's just not that popular in Japan, especially not the way it is here in America. So
right.
All right, so I guess we kind of defined that. So I guess I want to save My Hero Academia for the end. I feel like we can talk about that because I feel like that's the whole what we're building up to. So I feel like let's kind of just go into some other series because it's a good reminder to kind of judge where were shows at during, you know, at their 50 episode mark. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with the actual OG series that's one of the most popular, and that's One Piece. And I'm going to start with that one because, again, I know at least for myself, I consider that, you know, my favorite shonen series. And so the episode 50, and this is something that has plagued One Piece for the longest time now, was a full-on filler episode. But we had gotten through it just not long, much more longer. I think it was like four or five episodes earlier before the filler started up. We just finished through the whole Nami Fishman arc. So, and that was a very powerful arc in One Piece. I feel like that was kind of like, because before that, like we didn't really have hyper emotional. Like I wouldn't say it wasn't emotional, but you know, it's just like Usopp's yeah. story. Was that really that wasn't really super emotional or like it wasn't bad, but it was kind of cheesy. Mm-hmm.
It was probably something you weren't expecting to see in a show like this.
Yeah, and I think Nami's arc had so much more emotion. It was just like, I mean, it sparked the whole debate of what you should call Nakama and not. Like, yeah. thing back in the day, like, you, goddamn it, you can't use the word Nakama. He's just not like crewmate. You have to use Nakama because it's so much more, you know. Right. It's, yeah, that's
nonsense.
It was kind of a stupid debate at the time, but it really yeah. was such an emotional arc. And I feel like that's something to at least mark it on. Like, yes, you can go on and say these arcs were way better later down the line, but that really is probably one of the standout arcs in One Piece. And we did get that before 50.
The one thing about Nami's Arlong Park is that we had known Nami since the beginning of the series. And so that was like, you know, the first 30 to 40 episodes, whereas with Usopp and Sanji, we were just getting to meet those characters. And so that's kind of the investment, is that after Barati, Nami went on her own. So that kind of added to the emotional investment of Luffy versus Arlong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely do. Again, I feel like I would at least, like, I don't know, like, again, we'll get back down to comparing it to My Hero Academia soon enough. But I feel like at least we can say, like, it was kind of funny because beforehand, before we were doing the podcast, we were sending out messages on Facebook, and Fosh was like, man, I don't see anything good. They were all so trash. But I feel like we almost have to give a little bit of a handicap. Now, admittingly, he was because he didn't quite look at all the series. But I feel like we should also even consider, I feel like we should give a handicap to shows. Because, you know, when One Piece was airing, you're talking about the 90s, right? Or the late 90s, you know?
Right.
Can we really also, like, fully say, you know, a show that is, you know, that would have been, like, I guess it started in, what, 2016? So, 15, 16, 17 years later.
Yeah.
Is it fair to hold One Piece against what it was? And even other shows we'll talk about, which some are even older.
Because you think about the just recent Holy Trinity of Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach. Mm-hmm. Those shows, they kind of adapted and improved from Dragon Ball. And so now, as we're seeing some of these newer series like My Hero Academia, they're maybe improving off of what they've seen with One Piece.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I see the influences on it with, especially the emotional stuff, because Hero has several of those moments where it's like, ugh, gut wrenching, like painful to watch these characters go through, and a lot of shonens now are incorporating that emotional side of it of characters as well. One Piece, I mean, at the time, you know, Luffy is still the goofy character, but the payoff is you see later on what happens with that character. He does start having more emotions about certain things, so it's nice to see that, you know, you can look back on these old episodes, like, yeah, they weren't that great, and my comment was more towards the episode itself, the episodes that are the fillers and the random episodes. Bleach, I'll talk about soon, but Bleach is just 50 episodes is atrocious.
Yeah, let's not critique the 50th episode.
Right.
It's if we're just critiquing based on episode 50, right, I can guarantee you right now, there's one winner.
Yeah,
about episode 50, and
that's what
I'm talking about. We'll get to that. Actually, let's go ahead and get into that now. That's Naruto. Episode 50 was the Rock Lee fight, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Naruto, I feel like we kind of critique it. We call it the OG. Although when you think about it, because we got shows like, you know, that are much older than that, but I think Naruto's, like, those first 50 episodes were very brilliant, in terms of emotion, in terms of just storytelling. I feel like all the characters, especially, you know, once we got introduced into the Chunin exam stuff, I mean, we finally, like, because for the first major part of the series, it was pretty much just about Sasuke, Naruto, Sakura, and even some
you mean more Sasuke, Naruto, Sasuke, Naruto?
it's mostly about those guys. So and then we got introduced into all the other characters, and I feel like that's one definite character things or trait to shonen series is they have a huge number of awesome characters.
A lot of people praise this first arc of Naruto being the best at the time that they've ever seen.
I mean, yeah,
they had good, like you said, good characters, a lot of interesting. The fights were good. The animation was up there.
Yeah, and the first major arc of Naruto, and this is one thing that, you know, I critique Boruto on, and I know Boruto is taking the long game, because they're really trying to make sure that they can show that show for the next 20 years without it being terrible, you know, Naruto, you had the first major arc, which was about the mist, you know, and you know, Zabuza, and
right.
I can't remember what's the name of his
Haku.
Haku, like those are like iconic characters, and those were like the first 20 fucking episodes of the series, and they never show up again, except for I guess Zabuza shows up in his dead form later, but whatever.
I think it's like the first trap character. I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, yeah. If you all knew.
So
but you're right. First
it's an amazing first arc, and then it goes right into the tuning exam arc, which goes on way past, which like goes through most of episode 50. I guess you can say it kind of changed out after all the fights, the initial fights before they get to the competition. But that is such a great arc. I feel like Naruto, especially when you're looking at just the first 50 episodes, if we were to judge based on the best, I think Naruto, you know, it's going to be a harder one to beat just because of those.
Right.
I remember because I was going through and I was rechecking all the 50 episodes that I have or watch, you know, on like Crunchyroll and stuff. And that was the only episode I literally sat through the whole one watching, like,
ooh. Yeah.
Like, open those gates.
Yeah, I was like skipping ahead to most of them. But that one's pretty good.
I guess kind of could give myself a little bit of a break. I want to go ahead, give it off to one of you guys. What's another show, if you look at the first 50 episodes, what are you kind of critiquing on?
I'm going to go with Bleach from the start, from the first episodes of Ichigo getting the Shinigami powers and kind of learning it and going into the Soul Society arc. That was the time when Bleach was genuinely a cool show, because we were going to this new world and Ichigo was doing cool things and having cool fights with guys like Renji and number 12 guy.
It was leading up to Kenpachi being like
Kenpachi, yeah.
That episode 50 is like a filler before they get to that main, when Ichigo finally gets his Bankai for the first time, which is disappointing because it's after like, I think it's like 55 or 60 when that actually happens. But still, like you said, the first half of Ichigo learning his powers, it was kind of cool. But at the same time, you're just like, come on, what else is there? And then it's Soul Society, you're like, you see all these people just can dominate him easily. You're like, oh, crap. How's he gonna do this?
Yeah, and even before going to Soul Society, there was that little thing with King Fisher, and that was kind of like, oh, there's like big things to come in this series, and then, you know, the rest is history as far as disappointment is concerned.
Right. I feel like the one thing bleached out, like the reason why I like, even though I kind of agree with you about those first 50 episodes, you know, was Bleach in its prime and enjoyable. It was a cool series, but I feel like that was all there was to it. when you kind of go back and think of like emotional elements and even story elements, I know we kind of rag on the fact that pretty much it boils down to who's kidnapped in Bleach.
Right.
And that really is what the whole first arc is until Society. So I think emotional aspect, I definitely would put that Bleach, you know, those first just the episodes, has no real emotional punch to it. And that's probably the most disappointing thing about it. When you could go back and look toward it.
You're right.
It's just kind of fighting. And that's not necessarily bad, but I feel like the best shonen series you can kind of put on as saying, ooh, you know, this is fun and this is emotional, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. But it only gets emotional until when the Wikimundo arc, when he has to say Orihime. When she's going through her ordeal, and then you got to go with the bad guy. They actually make the bad guys in that you kind of feel for certain ones, especially the last guy, Ikura. You kind of feel sort of bad for the guy because all he wants to do is understand humans, and he just fights. But yeah, like you said, that's the second, almost like third half.
Yeah.
So it's like you gotta invest a lot of time to get there. But Bleach has some emotional there. Here and there, but it's mostly related to Ichigo's like mom, when he thinks about her and what happened with her, and anything with his friends when his friends are in danger. Yeah. Typical shonen, you know, if your friends are in danger, you suddenly get a emotional moment and you get a power boost. And so that happens a lot in all these shows. But
Bleach has even My Hero Academia has those moments.
Oh yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
But Bleach, like you said, it was cool getting up to that point and then seeing what happens, but. Yeah, there's not really much after that. I just remember some iconic fights, and the music obviously was a big thing for that series for me. The music, I can remember certain scenes from the music by hearing it, and just. But yeah, Bleach is. Was it okay at the time?
All right, Fosh, what about you? Pick a series, talk about it. Let's see what first episodes were like.
I'll probably end up going with Gintama because That episode, I don't know what I was saying in the messages on Facebook, that I forgot half the stuff they were making fun of. And I think up to this point, Gintama was just parody, was making jokes all the times, up to 50. And at 50, I think, is the episode where they're getting to a point where they're like, okay, this is getting boring, guys. We need to redo our series. So think of a way to make it interesting. And so you got the premises, all these characters come up and came up with ideas how to make it better. But so I think for me, the first 50 is in the book pure comedy. And that's what got me interested in Gintama, because I know Kyokai would always tell you about the jokes are funny, the comedy's funny, the actors are great. And then getting into those 50 episodes, she was pretty much right that it is very funny. But at the same time, you have to watch some of these shonen shows, and you have to kind of know what they're making fun of. I know they make fun of like Ice Shield, which is a weird one to make fun of, but they make fun of Ice Shield later on in one of these episodes. But yeah, this one actually was funny. Go ahead.
I feel like Gintama is one of those. Yes, it's definitely a shonen series, mm-hmm. but this is a show that you have to give time to.
Yeah,
and I feel like, you know, there's what, like, how many episodes is there over?
They're up to like they gotta be past 400, or at least by 400, at least, yes, near there.
So I feel like Gintama is one of the shows you actually have to give time if you really want to get into. Judging Gintama's, I would definitely put on that. Don't judge a shonen's first 50 episodes completely. Yes. Because as a shonen series, Gintama would almost fail if you were to judge it by every other standards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I said, Naruto, we were getting into massive fights and arcs and awesome stories. But Gintama, to that point, I think the longest arc might have been two episodes, two or three episodes.
Yeah, those beginning points,
Yeah, it's just, you know, Gintama is gag. And I feel like it's definitely a show that, as it matured, got way better in terms of at least emotional punches and, you know, fight scenes even. And they always made fun of certain things, like we have a time skip, or this is my ultimate move, and it's just something stupid. Because they don't really have ultimates in Gintama.
Yeah, my favorite will always be the thing where they did, okay, I'll go with, like, he's fighting, he's like, he's gonna come with a power, and he goes, I'll go with this, and it's basically Ichigo's final Bankai form. Exactly. And he's standing on the roof, and he doesn't do anything with it, he just has the costume. And I think that was just hilarious that they can take these other shows that are very popular at the time and like poke fun of them at the time.
Yeah.
And I think it was almost near the end when Bleach just revealed that final form, and like 2 weeks later Gintama did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, or something on the lines of maybe a month, two, whatever. But it's still, I found Gintama to be refreshing that it does that it takes these, not really a risk, but I guess sometimes they are, because they can't make fun of everybody because certain people don't like it. So them making fun of things like that was a surprise. I've never seen that in that shonen. And like you said, as it gets better, later on the arcs, you get more fighting, more emotion, and I guess even movies, which is a surprise. But I guess not really a surprise. Again, a lot of these shows do get movie spin-offs.
Well, I think the surprising thing was the movie did so well that it brought it back.
Yeah, the big difference between Gintama and most of the series that we're going to talk about is that when we talk about One Piece, we'll say, like, oh, One Piece is funny, or oh, Naruto has funny moments or something. But comedy is the sell for Gintama more so than the action, as far as I know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, especially if you have two characters that are, like, very manly looking and they pop up as Preaker, you instantly win with me. Because, episode 50 does that, and it's hilarious. It's a thing I would not expect a show to make fun of. And they make fun of it. I'm like, wow, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, kind of jumping back into that kind of a different shonen series. One show I wanted to bring up because I thought was kind of interesting that it was shonen. I've been coming back thinking about it. Yeah, it's definitely kind of a shonen series. And that was Ranma 1/2. You know, this is a show that aired back in 1989. This is one of our oldest series we're going to talk about, at least at least we put on our list.
My only exposure was at the time was dubs on a random website I found.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching the dubs. I'm like, a lot of these shows, like, I remember just because of the dubs.
Yeah,
Ranma's one of those.
I think this was during, like, the golden age of dubs. The Ranma dub was amazing. And it's still a show that really kind of holds up, but it's definitely one that, like judging it based on the first 50 episodes, it's easy to do because it's not, again, it's not a traditional, like, because I think kind of like Gintama, Ranma was selling based on, I would say, etchiness. And that kind of, at least the, one of the main reasons why I wanted to mention it, because again, it's something different. You know, again, while a lot of these shonen shows we'll talk about is more about being action oriented, emotional, you know, cool scenes, great characters, Ranma was much more focused on, let's see whose boobies we see this week, and
right,
you know, let's have the perverted sensei who was introduced. I think episode 50 was like him going around fighting an invisible guy that could, you know, steal, go see naked women whenever they want, and he was jealous because of that.
Right. Yeah.
But it really was such a kind of a classic, I guess, almost 80s ecchi series. But it really, I think, was one that we shouldn't at least mention because it was so, it's so iconic because it is so different. And I think a while ago I said, I'd love to see a reboot of the series. And I still feel like that because it's, again, like what other show has ever had, like, you know, a guy gets flashed with cold water, turns into a female. And that's kind of like the premise of the series is they have people that just turn into different characters. And I just really enjoyed that show.
Yeah. At the time when I was watching it, it's just, like you said, it's very different than anything during that era. It was just like a goofy, very goofy plot idea of a character can go back and forth with genders, and the character isn't really that even excited about it at all. I mean, he's just like, he obviously, it's a curse for him, and he hates it, but sometimes it comes in handy for certain situations. But yeah, it's just like you said, it's just, I like Gintama, it has the comedy moments and not really any heavy emotions as far as I can remember in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just a lot of, you know, anger. I know Akane and Ranma fights are just like,
I think it was more
that's for a while. It's like, oh, this again, like, yeah, well, that's the show.
I think the emotional moments actually were more relationship oriented.
Yeah, true.
Romance oriented, and less like, you know, I grew up in a parent, you know, terrible thing, or my parents died, or I need, you know, it's that kind of also gives that the little edge because it is so romancy.
Yeah, I mean, that too, true. And maybe something like, here, Ranma hating his dad, like, they did not like each other very much, but this is how they were.
kind of going into another show I want to mention, because we're kind of talking about the classic series here, another classic shonen series I feel like, judging it off its 50 episodes would be good to do. Like, I think, like, we can do that pretty easily, and that's Yu Yu Hakusho. Now, the series itself, I think, is only like 112 episodes long.
Yeah,
but I feel like that first 50 episodes was actually I know it's been a long time since a lot of people have seen shows like that. But I was kind of looking back because that's actually a series I own completely. So I own all the DVDs of the series, and so I was going back and looking at them, and we had some really great fight tournament arcs, like, and that's kind of like the if we were to judge this show, it would be more on the grounds of Bleach, although this one stayed good all the way through.
It knew when to get out.
Yes, exactly.
It knew when to give other characters the time to shine too.
Exactly, and I feel like this show had some great, you know, great moments, especially in those first 50 episodes, because we were getting introduced to characters like Kurama, and it was just that, because that was that first arc area where we were getting into the tournaments, and I really feel like, at least as a series, it's pretty cool. At least those first 50 episodes, I did enjoy them, and so I, at least, because again, it's been so long, and I didn't watch them, I only kind of skimmed through several of them. It's hard to really gauge it, but it is one I feel like we should at least, you know, I guess give it its due, because again, as I said, it's much like Bleach, except for, as you said, it knew when that 112 was enough.
Yeah,
and it's a nice little complete story. And again, this is another show that's dub is phenomenal.
Yeah, when I was watching the episode 50, it goes, the little old woman, I was like, oh my god, it's Frieza, Frieza's voice actor. I'm like, oh god, wow, he goes that far back, huh? Like, wow.
Yeah, and it was cool at the time because go ahead on your point.
Well, I was wondering, like, I'm not sure when the dub existed.
I remember being on, it was on, like, old original Toonami back in, like...
Oh, yeah, that's actually
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I know in Japan it aired, like, 92 to 95, But I don't know when the American got the dub. That'd be kind of interesting to see, because I know Frieza's been around for a while, but they might have waited until, yeah, like, you know,
I want to say 90s. Or, yeah, I want to say almost 90s, because I know Dragon Ball Z at the time was doing this rerun thing where they would get to a certain arc, repeat it, and redo it again. Okay. And he was there. But yeah, for me, Yu Hakusho, I think it gives credit for being the first series that had a tournament arc besides Dragon Ball Z. I remember the Dark Tournament and Yu Hakusho being first tournament I've seen, like, in an anime form.
Again, I would also put credit due to, you know, Dragon Ball, you know.
True, yeah.
Dragon Ball, is as old as it is, you know, we that definitely had a lot of tournaments and stuff. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say. I would definitely say Yu Hakusho probably definitely got a lot inspired from Dragon Ball itself.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, at least for me personally, it was only the first anime I seen that had a tournament arc style in it. Like, huh, this is a thing. And that's kind of a staple of a lot of shonen. They do have, most of them have a tournament arc somewhere in there. You know, characters beating each other up to see who's more powerful and all that. But Yu Hakusho, yeah, like I said, the first 50 is pretty good.
Could someone remind me what the motivation was, or what the cause was of Yu Hakusho's tournament arc?
That was a dark tournament thing. It was about, because remember, Yu Yu Hakusho's, like, the guiding principle behind it was that the main character, my brain just
Yusuke
Urameshi.
He basically was working for the undead police or whatever. And that arc had to do with, I can't remember her name, the old lady, as she was mentioning, was going to teach the winner of her arc the ultimate move, which was the spirit gun, I believe, or whatever that was that he used all the time. So the idea was that he was supposed to intercept it and win the tournament because bad guys couldn't get that ultimate move. So the premise is definitely shaky, but
all right.
As a series, though, it's definitely it was, you know, it was a fun series. Like, again, none of the premises of the show, none of the story elements were ever really that deep. I think maybe at the end when he was the Demon King and was about taking over the world or whatever, things got a little shaky. But story wise, it was always, this was a show that was definitely fluff. But at the same time, no one in the late 80s, early 90s was ever expecting any kind of serious story from anime or things like that.
Right. Yeah,
so exactly. I feel like this is another one of the shows you have to give kind of the handicap, you know, when you're judging it based on, you know, modern day shonen, or even shonen, you know, less than 5 years later after the series ended.
Yeah.
Foster, Jero, any other? Got another series?
Yeah, I would throw in Fairy Tail, because I would think Fairy Tail is, like, more one of the, I guess, newest ones besides, like, My Hero that has come out in the last, well, there's a couple more, I guess. It's kind of where, somewhere in the middle. But Fairy Tail, it kind of like Gintama, it relies more heavily on the comedy. Mm-hmm. In the first 50 episodes, it was just, it's an arc that we were just getting to know some of these characters. We don't really know all of them at this point. And 50 is, if you have to talk about that one, is a big fight, lead up to a big fight with a lightning dragon, which is the son of the guild leader who wants to take over. But as far as the rest of it, before it goes, is purely comedy. A lot of, like, monster of the week, or in their case, the quest of the week. Mm. They get a mission or quest, and they team up and go solve that case, which is usually 3 to 4 episodes arcs they usually can solve them in. And the bigger arcs are usually, like, most, like, you know, 20 episodes, and they're pretty long.
Yeah, those weren't until much later, yeah.
Right, yeah. But yeah, Fairy Tail is, like, again, relies on comedy. All the characters are just goofballs, but the fighting is very cliche of the One Piece, or any of the shows. Friendship is power, and Fairy Tail relies heavily on that. It's very, like, it has various arcs about just about friendship and meeting people. And And Natsu also has the same kind of similar side ability that Luffy has. Every time he fights a main villain, they eventually come to his side and become like an ally later. And that happens a lot with Fairy Tail. Most of the villains that Natsu beats eventually switch sides and help him out when he needs it. which is kind of corny cliche, but it is again a show kind of dedicated more towards a younger audience. So and etchy elements, a lot of etchy as well in Fairy Tail, which was very surprising to me. Just like with Rama, is Fairy Tail has a lot of like, and a lot of characters' designs. I mean, obviously they're going for that. Mm-hmm. All the girls have big boobs and wear these very tight outfits, and they have like, but the portions are like everywhere. So yeah, that's the one driving thing that kept Fairy Tail, I think, going. Was the etchy elements.
And also, Amuro was pointing out to us that Hiro Mashima is working on a new series in the character designs. It may as well look like other Fairy Tail characters.
I saw a tweet. Someone's like, "Can we report Hiro Mashima for like copyright infringement because he's copying, ripping off himself?"
Yeah, Fairy Tail. Like, I fell out of interest with Fairy Tail because I was reading a manga before the anime came out. So I was like, "Oh, cool, an anime came out." And then the first episodes weren't that impressive, and then I just realized like, I felt like it was really derivative of One Piece, as you were mentioning. And I just felt like, why bother with two of these, you know? Like, there's only so many hours in a day.
I kind of agree with you because, like, I really enjoyed Fairy Tail for, and I know this is getting off a little bit of the first, judging it based off the first 50 episodes theme. but, you know, this was a show that I think I watched a lot of, you know, I watched the whole first season and then I think it jumped into a second season. I watched probably about 10 or 15 episodes of that until I realized I kind of fell into that same boat where I was thinking this show, it's not a bad series, but it is very derivative. There's so many shows that you can say, well, this is a lot like this series, but doesn't do it as well. So it's like a lot of stuff it doesn't do as well as this series. Why watch the subpar series? Like, you know, a lot of these other shows I can at least mention, you know, this did this well. This did this well. You know, filler in Naruto was amazing. You know, while filler in One Piece One Piece kind of sucks, or filler in this show wasn't that bad, but still not good. So. Right. You know, I feel like that's kind of why I ended up falling off of Fairy Tail. But again, judging it off the first 50 episodes, if I were to get into that again, kind of keeping focus, I would definitely say that it was too much Monster of the Week for me, at least based on judging that based on a lot of the other series. So,
right. Yeah, I will give credit. It made, you know, like, I still like Lucy and Ezra. They're the, you know,
great characters. Nonetheless, the show had great characters. So I'm not surprised if people kept watching or kept loving the series because they were just following the characters. But
yeah, I kept up with it for a long time. Even they did a spinoff where they went to a time arc where it's about where Fairy Tail Guild comes from. They did an arc. I recently watched the second movie, and it's coming out with another, I guess, a final season here. And I think, I want to say two seasons from now, it's coming back. So Fairy Tail is like still gonna be around, still gonna be a thing, but like you said, the creators moved on, but it definitely has a bunch of holes in it that it makes it not that great, and it's hard to get through. And like you said, a lot of filler that really isn't needed, but yeah, it's got a blend of different shonen elements and stuff.
All right, so we're kind of getting down to the length of a normal episode, so. Of chat, so I kind of want to. We're going to kind of wrap this up soon with My Hero Academia. But before we get there is one major series we haven't talked about yet. That's Hunter x Hunter.
Hunter x Hunter. Is that two series?
Yeah, technically there's two series. And this is a series that I feel like, especially judging it on its first 50 episodes, I would probably put it in line with series like Naruto and My Hero Academia, because those were some amazing episodes. In the first series, and then I'll only be brief on the first, 1998 series, which, you know, was around at the same time as One Piece and Naruto, you know, started airing. Those first 50 episodes, I was thinking it was actually 99 that it first aired. Those first 50 episodes, while we got some filler, it was, you know, starting into that arc where we got into the what's the name of that bandit group?
The Phantom Troop.
Phantom Troop. So we started getting to the Phantom Troop, and I feel like that, like, the series was getting super serious. And that was such an amazing arc. I mean, I think we got past the Kurapika, or Kurapika, I can't remember. Kurapika, how are you saying?
Kurapika.
Kurapika too. I think we had his first fight with what was his name? Umbo or something or whatever.
Big caveman looking dude.
Yeah, so that was such a great fight too. So and even like a lot of the like the hunter exam arc stuff was so amazing as a series.
I did want to ask, like, animation wise, is it the original 99 version, is it like more brutal, more bloody than the reboot we got?
So you've never seen the original?
No, I've never seen the original.
It's really hard to judge it. I would say yes, it's a little more brutal, like
more,
but at the same time, I feel like the first part of the reboot series that happened in, I believe, 2010, that series, or 2011, that series, like, it got brutal toward the end of what we had in what was published.
That was the one big thing about Hunter x Hunter. I kind of liked how it does get very brutal. Like, the UDC people got to lose arms and stuff, whatever.
In the original series, the first several episodes, the first 50, it definitely, I feel like it ramped up the brutalness in the original, but in this series, it was always brutal. And it just got even more brutal. But still, like, as a series, though, and that's one thing I think I respect about Hunter x Hunter more than all these other series. Because especially in those first 50, and even going down, thinking about them all, trying to judge, you know, obviously all these shows, even Bleach, you have character deaths and, you know, sad moments. But I think Hunter x Hunter is that one series that you can hold up to as being the more mature of the shonen series in terms of violence and characters and even plot points, even though it involves a 10-year-old kid, you know, we still have assassins and ripping out hearts.
Exactly. That's the part that always gets popular, like, but then if you watch it, because I was one of those people before, but who was just like, oh, it's just like, I'm not going to do anything. I put it off, and finally watched it. And I was like, okay, well, this changed my mind about this series. It's, you know, like you said, easily on this list we have here, it's easily one of the most, like you said, up there with Naruto and just being how good story and how brutal it gets later.
And one thing I also kind of like about this show, and this is going to sound kind of strange, but I feel like a lot of shows, what they end up doing is they keep ramping up powers for all the characters, and then they make excuses for characters that really should not be ramping up their powers, but why they should still be in the show, but they'll do that. But one thing I liked about Hunter x Hunter was, you know, Leorio was such a huge part of the first chunk of the series, especially even through the first 50 episodes. But then later on in the series, they recognize, you know, there's not a whole lot we can really do with this character at this point. So I like how they shift focus in the series. And really, when you boil it down, if you were to center the main characters of Hunter x Hunter, I would definitely put it on Gon and Killua. I do like how they did shift that too, and it was kind of almost like, I wouldn't say a course correction, but like, you know, just kind of a focusing in, and I enjoyed that about the series. But again, getting back to the first 50 episodes, definitely I feel like one of the best, because I loved Hisoka, especially in those first 50 episodes, and we, you know, and especially getting the hunter license, I loved that whole arc. You know, when he had to face down Hisoka and, you know, get his badge number, it was just it was just such a cool kind of moment. I really like this series. It's definitely one of the top.
And you feel a little bit like the characters kind of earn their power too in this series. They earn their abilities.
It definitely does not shy. I think, again, that's another thing I would kind of put on certain things. A lot of shows will kind of be like, we got to make a reason, even though, you know, we just got to keep showing, like, you know, this character is the main character, so he's always got to be the most powerful one. So we just always got to keep introducing new, more powerful characters. But on Hunter x Hunter, you're right. It's a show where it's like, you feel at times Gon is not super, you know, he's
not the top of the food chain. Like,
yeah. And
later arcs, you're like, oh, fuck. He's going to.
And I wonder almost if, you know, kind of tying into My Hero Academia, yeah. it has those same vibes too. And
yeah.
Even the most recent stuff,
Deku's whole character is like that. Like, just seeing him train, you actually feel for the guy. Like, how long he's been doing it. Like, he really wants this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and now kind of getting to the main question, you know, judging My Hero Academia, because again, we just finished that. I mean, I guess I'm saying it from my own opinion, because I haven't asked you guys yet. But this last arc with them, you know, going down to hunt Deku, with the introduction of All for One, you know, it was an amazing arc for me.
Oh yeah,
I enjoyed it, especially, you know, the big reveal of All Might using his powers, and something that made sense that I don't believe they said before then. That he was, you know, all his powers were basically just, you know, like remaining. Like, I always thought that his powers were draining because of his energy, but not because of just the fact, you know, his or injury. Not, I think, it was because of his injury, not because of the fact that he passed them on, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I took it like kind of like a little bit of both. Like, passing it on probably weakened it a little bit. Like you said, he weakened it.
Well,
he wasn't at full power at the time when he.
Well, he said that all his abilities.
Right, the embers, whatever, were running out.
Yeah, just embers of what he originally had. So, I feel like the injury just made him want to pass it on, which actually answered a few questions. So I was like, are there other characters with the All for One ability, or, you know, whatever that ability? I can't remember.
One for all
ability. But yeah, now it's kind of answered. But yeah, that was such a powerful arc in general. And I think so far the series has been good. But, you know, now let's judge it. Let's judge it based on the other series. The series has been good, you know, at times and really amazing. But one thing the series hasn't had, that if we were to judge it based on series, like even One Piece or Naruto, there. This is a show, and maybe this is judging it based on, maybe this is a sign of modern times, but the arcs all in this series are fairly short when you look at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the recent arc they went to the training camp in the woods was, I want to say, 10 episodes? Maybe less than that, maybe 7 or 8.
I think I'm pretty sure it was less than that, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Because remember, the first episode was a recap. And then once the series started, it was, you know, fairly short. And I feel like you can almost, you know, say, well, technically it goes on until they actually rescued Bakugo.
Yeah, I guess.
But I feel like it was almost qualified as two different arcs.
The retrieval of Bakugo arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to see a mainstream shonen show do essentially a lot of what My Hero Academia is doing, because, you know, those One Piece arcs, I mean, they're big and they're epic and they're awesome. You think about Alabasta, CP9 and stuff.
I always think of the prison arc.
Impel Down, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of great arcs, but, you know, even for as good as they are, you know, at some point you're looking at your watch and you're thinking, let's get a move on with this arc here.
So do you think our attention spans are now lessening?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they are getting shorter.
Yeah.
Get through an episode without looking at your phone of any anime.
especially one that you kind of like being like dragged through. Because I watch a lot of anime with my brother, and we kind of have this thing where I watch crap Chucky doesn't like, and he watches something I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of sit there and watch it. But Hero Academia, for him, he's not a very big fan of it. He doesn't like the arc system. He doesn't like how it takes so long to get to something. That's a big complaint from him. But for me as a fan, I've read the manga, so I kind of know what happens in certain arcs. But yeah, I think that's the one thing I would say. It does have, like you said, short arcs that you don't have the long-spanning 25-episode arcs anymore, like they used to back in the day. Now it's like you said, 7 or 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, like you said, or if you technically get to it, it didn't save until the very end, so that arc's now over. But I still say it's the other way around, that they technically finished an arc when they left the woods.
Mm-hmm.
That arc was done, so a new arc was starting. But, yeah.
You know, one other thing I would kind of critique My Hero Academia on, at least currently speaking, and other series, you know, maybe if they took some extra time to do this too, but one of the things is all the cool moments, like the moments that make your hair stand on end, like, oh, that was badass, that was awesome, they really only happen with two characters, and they're using the exact same ability. So I would actually critique that on that, because like Hunter x Hunter even, or Naruto, you know, as I said, episode 50 was the reason it was so awesome was because it was about Rock Lee, you know, not Naruto figuring out some cool thing to use his chakra.
Now I'm thinking about like Dragon Ball Z, Gohan versus Cell using the same move, Goku's.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Exactly. And so, I think My Hero Academia, I would definitely like to see more of that going forward.
Yeah, I would say my other one would be maybe too many characters. I don't know if you guys have a problem with that, but I think Hero does have too many characters. There's a few of them I could live without.
Yeah,
honestly, it's like they don't need that 12 heroes in that. I get it's a class. I mean,
right? Yeah, because when you watch the show, every time the character first appears on screen, they show their name and their ability. And
that is one annoying thing.
I'm actually kind of like appreciative, because I would probably forget the names because there's so many characters.
Good point.
Yeah, and that does bring a good point too, because I mean, everything we're saying here, like even if we were to go back and look at all the other series that we talked about today, I'm not looking at one of them going, in those first 50 episodes, we had a massive amount of characters to remember and think. I mean, again, Naruto ramped things up, and even by the end of during the arc, the Chunin exam arc, we had like 9 characters to look at to remember versus a show like My Hero Academia, which has so many people in the class, so many side characters, professional heroes, and it's a lot to focus on.
You got the other class and the tournament where they introduce all those characters in the tournament arc, and you're like, do we even remember all these characters? Like, really? I mean, it's a lot. But
I really think that I would love to see definitely more of a focusing, and I'd like to see other characters too get more of the spotlight, because I feel like we kind of got with My Hero Academia a lot of Deku.
Mm-hmm.
We got a sprinkle of what's his name with the fire and the ice ability,
Todoroki.
Yeah,
and we got a sprinkle of Todoroki, and I feel like, and I guess we also got a sprinkle of Ida,
and a little bit of the Frog Girl, which is only a anime only episode.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, oh man, that sucks.
I don't know if I'd call that a sprinkle, like, but at least story element wise.
Right. Yeah. Sneeze, maybe.
Yeah, sneeze. But I would definitely like to see more episodes, because I feel like there's a lot of characters that I feel in this show would definitely benefit on. Because a character I really like, and I know you guys you read the manga. Do both of you guys read the manga?
No,
I haven't read it since I've stopped all that. But
one character I definitely would love to see more focus on is Bakugo, because he is kind of one of the more intriguing characters, especially after the most latest arc, and even like you know the fact that you can tell he knows something's going on between All Might and Deku. So he kind of knows that, and I feel like that's kind of an interesting...
Which is funny. It's like, you would think other characters would know that, too. I mean, like you just said a minute ago, both characters use the same exact power.
Well, again...
No one's figured that out yet. Like,
again, I believe...
Really?
Again, Bakugo has the benefit of being, you know, childhood friend of Deku. So
right, he knows,
knowing Deku, you know, and the fact that he's never had any powers whatsoever.
He had no powers, and then suddenly he does. Like, he's always hanging around All Might.
And again, other characters might just think, might not think much about it, but being the fact that they grew up together,
I
feel like he's got more of a presence of mind to judge that. Plus, Bakugo obviously seems to be a little very smart, although they don't really show it as much because he's just screaming all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I like you just said, with him doing more things, be great. I kind of want to see some of the girls to do some of the things too. That, I mean, I think they're okay written characters, but for the most part, they don't really do a whole lot. But like you said, sure. Deku is the main star here, so it is all on him to show off these flashy moves, like doing the 1 million punch. You know, that was cool. And like you said, and then we get 10 episodes later, All Might's basically doing the same thing.
So, doing a little bit better.
But yeah, better, maybe more animated and more, you know, stakes on the line, you know. If he doesn't sit top of this guy, something's going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the final question, because we were kind of talking about it. Judging based on the first 50 episodes, at least out of the ones we talked about, let's go ahead. Let's name it. What would you consider your favorite, based on the first 50 episodes, shonen series? Would it be My Hero Academia or something else? I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to put it on Naruto. I feel like based on the first 50 episodes, in terms of emotional impact, awesome fights, and great characters, I think Naruto hits it out of the park in every shape and form. I think I would at least give a little bit of a grade. What's it called when you raise everyone's grades? A curve. Yeah. I would grade it on a slight curve, mm-hmm. based on, you know, if you were to say animation and all this other stuff.
Right.
Obviously, series, you know, that are made, you know, 15, 16 years before that, you have to give a little bit of leeway. But I really feel like Naruto, especially even the world it built, you know, was just so fantastic off of those first 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. Characters and the villains. I would say if I were to pick one, like, I don't think One Piece would win it. I know One Piece, if I were to judge it based on everything, I would probably put One Piece ahead. But based on the first 50 episodes, especially versus My Hero Academia, I do think Naruto is better. And I get some people are going to hear that and think, you're stupid. But I feel like that's also judging it, but the fact that Naruto was on the air, and it's still technically on the air for 20 years now, or almost 20 years coming up next year. So you're kind of judging it based on that factor. And again, not on the first 50 episodes, the way you felt. And I really, because I remember XCOM hooked me up with all the CDs. Yeah, I'm going old school here. All the CDs, I think of the first 70 episodes, because I got into the past that. And I remember watching those, leaning back in my computer chair, on my tube computer monitor.
Yeah.
And I remember how much that felt. And I could probably go ahead and go back and rewatch this. And I have rewatched the series before, and still consider those first 50 episodes really remarkable. So I'm going to give my vote to Naruto.
I'm going to go with My Hero, mm-hmm. for the best here, because yeah, in the first 50 episodes, there are so many just like exciting moments in My Hero Academia that I think the other series, like, they were great arcs, but they don't have these moments of excitement that you think about with Midoriya and Uruura versus Bakugo and whoever his partner was, Ida. In the early on arc. So there's so many exciting moments in the first episodes of My Hero. And for as big of a cast as they have, and as difficult as it can to kind of keep track of everything, and you know, you see all these mm-hmm. characters and you think, oh, I want to see more of them. There are so many likable characters. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that I feel like, oh, that character's like an anchor and dragging everybody down and stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mineta for just the like pervy factor. But even he can kind of have his fun moments here or there. So I think just from how amazing such a large cast of characters is and how exciting the first episodes have been, I would mm-hmm. say. And also with My Hero versus these other shows, not every show has this, but you know, when you see One Piece, you can tell, like, okay, they must have outsourced this animation to, like, Korea or something. My mm-hmm. Hero really hasn't had that major dip in animation. It's been consistent. And that's the benefit of taking a break every couple years. And also having a, you know, a more solid studio like Bones animated
thing. Yeah.
And we never really talked about that, but I do feel like if I were to all these shonen series. I know Gintama has done that. I think Gintama kind of almost pioneered that, in a sense. But I do like that formula more, because I would prefer less filler. Obviously, one or two filler episodes. I'm not going to, like, because as you mentioned, we got the Frog Girl filler. But
recap.
I'd much rather have that as a series that we get, you know, 25 a year, and then instead of having them catch up to the manga every time, because like that does give us a little bit of a break, gives us a little bit of a breather, and gives the series time to mature and not kind of, you know, plague us with what One Piece kind of and Bleach, which did it the worst with all the filler.
Yeah, and for as much as I love One Piece, I don't want to fast forward 6 minutes just to get to the start of the episode. You know?
Yeah.
All right, Fosh, what about you? Favorite out of the list based on the first 50?
Based on the first 50, I'd probably lean more on Gintama, just because I'm a comedy junkie and I love slapstick. And again, like the ability to just for Gintama to poke fun at series that I would not expect any other show to make fun of. Was one of the eye openers. Like, wow, this is a thing that could happen in other shows. And there are other shows that have tried mimicking this. Naruto-san tried doing the whole gag parody, making fun of Shonen. They did something about One Piece in theirs. But Gintama, for me, always has that. I always lean back on Gintama because it's just, they do it so well. Mm-hmm. For me, I think when I was watching Hinomatsuri, I was thinking, like, man, I hope this is written by the Gintama team because it has the same kind of comic. A comedic, I guess, moments in that series as well, yeah. But Gintama for me, yeah. And then seeing the characters introduced, like Kagura. Kagura is easily one of my favorites, just because the voice actor and just how dumb that character is sometimes. But at other times, she does get serious in fights and later on. But yeah, Gintama, just has a great cast of characters. Gintoki is probably easily the one of the most, I guess, my favorite male characters. I don't really have a lot of favorite male characters. But Gintoki will always be like number one favorite male character, just because he's like great. You can be silly, you can be emotional, you can be serious. He's all involved in one. Yeah,
Gintoki will always be at least one of my avatars.
Yeah, pretty much. He's great. And with the hero, it's like I like hero, but time it's like right now we're in an era where superheroes are like everywhere. True. They're in Marvel movies, they're on TV, they're in Netflix, they're everywhere. And the hero kind of, after a while, you get kind of like, that's enough superheroes for me right now. But I'm glad they do
keep coming point. Back. So. We never really brought that up. The fact that there is so much hero spam.
Yeah.
we never really critiqued My Hero Academia on being just more hero spam. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all that said, I mean, every show we talked about, almost every show with Bleach, you know, these are all great series. So don't make it ever like if you get upset at us because we did not pick My Hero Academia. Yeah. I mean, it's still fantastic fucking anime. I mean,
but Bleach still has. I still have fond memories of Bleach. I
mean, true.
I was still in school and just watching something and getting to go to school the next day and talk about Bleach with my friends was like really fun. Even though, like you said, it's not a very good series, but it has its moments. But yeah.
I think that's you almost also have to kind of somewhat grade series based on a curve, based on age. Because when you're 18 years old or 16 years old, you know, watching Dragon Ball Z, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you go back and you look at it and like, he screamed for like 7 episodes.
And why? You're like,
why did
you're
we like this again?
And you're like, when I was 12, I tried powering up and it wouldn't work. And Super, I didn't think about talking about Dragon Ball Super, but yeah, like you said, they do like, so at the time you're watching them, they're amazing. You know, I'm pretty sure if I looked back at like, because I looked back at Inuyasha and I was like, oh god,
yeah, why
did I watch this series?
Exactly. I feel like that's the one show, like, we didn't talk about it. It was on the list, but we had so many we had to go through. But Inuyasha is a show that was like, that show should have ended a long time ago. I mean, all it turned into, and it turned into this for like probably like 500 chapters of the manga. It's just go, what new power can we give our sword to defeat Naraku? It's like that's
he
it.
Never fucking dies till they get to the last arc. They rebooted.
Yeah,
and he's finally dead. And like, now what? We're done. That's it.
And that's like getting back to Hunter Hunter. That's kind of the most frustrating thing about Togashi and his hiatuses and his ailment with his back and other things is because he there's so many great writers like Oda and Musashi with Naruto, but Togashi's probably like the best writer of all these guys, all these mangaka, but he just hasn't been able
to. He's the most inconsistent.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, again, I would give him some slack because he had cancer, but then it was like years later, it almost felt like he was just like, it's like, okay, you've recovered.
And him being so openly about his Dragon Quest addiction.
And also some of the frustrating things, like he had to draw the series. Like, I feel like a lot of people would have been very okay with him just writing the series and letting someone else draw it. That's why we got so many chapters where, you know, if you watch a series like Bakuman, you know what it is. They released the mon. The rough sketch.
That's what they did with Dragon Ball Super. Kira Toriyama just wrote it. Someone else animated it. So
exactly. Like, and he doesn't want to give up that control. And it's that to me is
frustrating.
And when I look at art and go, I could draw that. That's not
good. I know.
Well, I've tried on some of these shows. I remember back in the day, I used to draw my own Dragon Ball Z OCs. Oh my God. I'm like, look back at some of them. I'm like, why did I? Purple hair. I'm like, oh God. And then I see it now. I'm like, well, Dragon Ball Super has pink hair and blue and red. And like, yeah, well,
instinct, yeah.
They're right. But yeah, that's the one thing I forgot to mention too, that these shows got me into like drawing. So that's what got me like interested in that. So, like, but yeah, there are a lot of shonen. A lot of shows.
Definitely say we're all shonen fans here.
Yeah.
Definitely. Till I die, I will always be watching some shonen anime. I guarantee.
I was going to ask the question, is High School DxD considered shonen?
I call that more of an ecchi action show.
Yeah. True.
I feel like there has to be some classifications because if you were to rate every series, you could probably do a stretch. I mean, even when I was looking through the list of AnnieDB, I found some questionable shows like Eureka 7 was considered a shonen series, and I was like,
I was also thinking Gundam Build Fighters, second season, because it's more martial arts than that, but they're actually more melee fighting in that one. So like that kind of was shonen. He did pair up with his friends, needing help.
I feel like sometimes just because it aired in Weekly Shonen Jump, people are like, this has got to be a shonen series, GTO.
To a root, technically shonen, that's in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, Nisei Koi was in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, so.
But anyway.
I guess I'll end the episode since I took the episode off.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening this week, obviously. I do at least want to let you guys know what's coming up, because especially if you listen to chat, you probably really like our anime episodes. And it'll be a lot more heavy anime coming up, because we're going to do the end of season stuff next week, and then the following week is season premiere, new stuff. Awesome. Definitely do look forward to those. So I guess I'll end it like Fosh. Thank you for listening.